The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Can you think of an event where people would come from many, many states, travel, walk, gather, not worry about eating, to come together from all over the place? Might think of one or two events. I doubt if it's Sunday Mass. It would be nice if it was Sunday Mass, where we were clamoring to be here. But today in the Gospel, we have this image of Jesus trying to find some moment of peace and prayer, but people traveling. And he looks upon them and says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're hungry for meaning, for hope, for a miracle, for hearing something new. They're starved for that journey to find something beautiful through this man, Jesus. And he says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. So often that's the case today, huh? We have a lot of people lost, a lot of people searching, a lot of people wondering how to make sense of the world, of our nation, of our church. Many are like a sheep without a shepherd. And that is the work of the Glenmary Home Missioners. Literally, we go to areas in the United States where there are no Catholic shepherds. Our mission, founded in 1939, is to go to rural areas in the United States where the Catholic Church is not yet present and where the poverty level is twice that of the national average, and there's rural areas, and to begin a new community to know the Lord of Jesus Christ in the Catholic way of life. Now, so as I explain more about Glenmary Home Missioner and our mission in this aspect, I have come to ask for three things of you. I've come to ask, first and foremost, for your prayers. I don't say that in a casual way. Prayer makes a difference. To offer prayer for our mission, for the people who do not know Jesus, for the areas where there is no Catholic Church, is the biggest gift you can give us. And by all three doors, there are different prayer cards, and I happen to be the author of several of those prayer cards, to Mary, to Jesus, to Joseph, so maybe you'll find one of those. I mean that very seriously. Your gift of prayer matters. Of course, Glenmary sent me here to say we also want your hard-earned money. That is also part of my task, is to have you support us in the second collection, which takes place after communion. But this image today is also a sheep without a shepherd. And so for some of you young people, I ask you to consider the call of Jesus, the call of God in your life. Are you being asked to be a shepherd, to be a priest, to be a religious brother, to be a religious sister? I ask you to seriously consider that as you listen to the stories of our mission. As I mentioned, I'm currently the novitiate director of the Glenmary Home Missioners. But prior to that, I was in the state of Tennessee for 9 years in Union in Granger County in the Knoxville Diocese, but in the Appalachian Mountains. And I was sent there with a team of Brother Craig and Brother Joe to begin the Catholic Church where it never was present. And when we arrived to a little rental house, we had three air mattresses, a card table with four chairs, and a glider chair that my mother gave me. And that was it. That was all we had to begin with. And we spent that early time going to different Catholic churches in the neighboring areas and saying, we're going to start a new one. If you live in our area, please see us. And slowly, in 3 weeks' time, we had furniture. We didn't have a place to pray, but we had furniture in the house, so that was the beginning. And so the very first Mass we had was in my carport. It was a BYOC, Bring Your Own Chair Mass. And we had 26 people gather. And among one of those who drove up in his pickup truck, and he said, is this the place for the Catholic Church, was a Korean War vet. Now, this was in 2011, and he was in his 70s at that time. And he said, you know, I've not been to Mass since the Korean War, and I never made my first communion. And he lived in that county for a very long time. So the very fact that we had arrived helped him return to the faith. And he was a harmonica player, and he played that harmonica, and now he's still living, but he's in his 90s now and doesn't play it too much anymore. From those 26 people, we began having Sunday Mass in the Methodist church and then to a storefront church. And then when I left there last year, in January of 2020, we had built the first Catholic church, the permanent Catholic church there. And it was through the grace of God. The community not only went from the 26 English-speaking to about 100 and some, the first Spanish Mass on a Sunday had 11 people, and when I left, there was 300 of those. So it became a very strong community of both English and Spanish-speaking. It's unusual to grow that fast. It's more likely to do what happened in Granger County, the neighboring county over, which is in the middle of the Appalachian Mountains, much more rural. Even the bishop got lost the first time he drove to find us. He'd call me, he said, I'm on the wrong road. And I said, you're in the wrong town. So, and he was coming for our first confirmation. So he couldn't even find us in the beginning. It was so rural and out of the way. But there, the English community was very small, and we only grew to about 40 in the English community. And most of them were people who were from the north who didn't have money. They settled in Tennessee because of the low income taxes, and they just had little income, and so they settled in the mountains, which is very beautiful, and so they were not very financially strong. And the other group were Latinos who worked in the tomatoes. Granger Tomatoes is famous, like Vidalia Onions in the area. There's all these beautiful tomato farms, and most of them worked there, a very difficult job. You get paid by how much you pick, and it's very seasonal, but they had made their permanent home for the sake of their children, because they wanted the children to have a better life, and so they were like squirrels. We never saw them in the summer very much because they were working two jobs trying to gather money for the winter when they would not have work. And then during the winter, we did many programs as they would come. Very different. And they're today, they've grown, they've struggled, but they're building their first Catholic church, but with the work of Brother Joe. Brother Joe is a professional builder. He's now 76 years old. He keeps saying this is his last building project. But they're all building it together. He works during the week, and on Saturdays, a group comes out to help him. And so it's taken them a while. I started the process when I was there, and it's still going. It's not quite finished. When you can only do work on Saturdays and not every Saturday, it takes more time. But they will have a beautiful, simple Catholic church there in the end of this year. Besides establishing the Christian faith, we also involved with poverty. And so we were able to begin a back-to-school program, which school supplies, which grew very rapidly. When I mentioned what do people gather for, the first time we had it, I was surprised how long the line was. People were there an hour before you opened the doors hoping for school supplies. It was amazing. We did blanket giveaways for winter. And I remember one of the women who came, she was a grandmother raising two of her grandchildren. And my hometown parish sent quilts down each year, and they'd have a quilting group, and they sent us down, and we would give those blankets away at this time, along with other blanket donations. And she said, "How much for this beautiful quilt?" And I said, "Nothing, it's free. That's why we're here today." And she burst out in tears, and she said, "You know, I've gone to lots of churches for their flea markets, and it's the first time anyone's given me anything free." And then later on, her two grandchildren came back and said, "Can we get some?" They saw some flower vases that were just out there for whatever reason. "Could we have those as a gift for our grandma? We've never been able to give her a Christmas gift." And so, obviously, we let them take the vases. So those are the kind of people we would encounter. We began a Mercy House, which gave away clothes once a month. We became the center for the commodities and also started a food pantry with three other churches. And then we eventually got the mobile clinic through the grace of the Mercy Sisters. And when they came through with their mobile clinic, they said they found the most people who had never seen a doctor in 10 years of any place that they were going to. So our ministry wasn't just to grow the church, but also to serve the poor. And in so doing, one of the great things that happened is I had an ecumenical Bible study, but we used Catholic material. And the six people who were not Catholic, four of them joined the church. And the Quaker minister didn't join the church, but he joined the choir. He couldn't quite make the transition to become a Catholic, but he now worships there every Saturday evening and is part of the choir. And so God's grace happens. And he said why he came to us. He said, "I've been in this community a long time, and I've never seen a church reach out to the poor with such gentleness and care so quickly, without judgment." And that struck his heart as how we're supposed to live. And so that's part of what Glenmary does. And we continue to today. In the midst of the pandemic, in January 2020, we sent Father Don Tranel to Smith County, Tennessee, in the Nashville Diocese, to begin a Catholic church. In the middle of the pandemic, we said, "Why not? The Lord calls us to be faithful." And he said, "I don't know how I'm going to do this. I can't see anybody." But he found a way, bit by bit, to begin. And they had their first public gathering a month ago. And they had 80 people come for their very first Mass and gathering. And now they're meeting on Saturday nights in a rental space and looking for property. And so God's grace continues, and this is what we do. And so we ask you to think of the people without a shepherd, the people without opportunities for the sacraments, and consider how you might help, how you might encourage us. To give you one other story of one of the women I visited, she was 52 years away from the Catholic Church. And she and her family settled in the mountains of Tennessee because they didn't like people. They had enough of people in their lives, so they really wanted to be away. They lived very high on the mountain. I could not drive and visit them on bad weather days. It was a very difficult place to reach. It took 20 minutes from my house to get them there, and they were, and I was the nearest priest to them by any means. But she came back when she was ill in the hospital, and she'd asked someone to say, "What priest is supposed to serve my area?" And so I got a call from the hospital and visited her there, and then visited her back in her house. And after reconciling with the Catholic Church and we received the communion for the first time in 52 years, she cried. And she would cry every time for those first several months when I brought her communion. And I asked her the meaning behind her tears, and she said, "I cannot believe I denied myself this grace for 52 years. And I cannot believe, the sinner that I am, that God would let himself to come back to me after all this time." And she was overwhelmed with the grace of Jesus through the sacrament. Now, my young people, maybe you are called to be part of that mission, to help people re-encounter the joy of Christ, to serve the poor, to make a difference, to bring hope to people's lives. Maybe Jesus is calling you. As I mentioned, I am the novice director. You'll see at each door there's various magazines. This one here has my last novice class. I had five novices, and they all took their first profession. That magazine is over there. On the other door, there's the most recent magazine of the three men who were just ordained. And in the back, you'll see my chicken. Glenn Marie has become famous. She's on the back cover of the challenge over there. And there's another issue here. But today I have one novice from Louisiana. But we had the image of sheep without a shepherd. And we had the first reading where people sometimes are disappointed in their shepherds. And that happens once in a while, huh? We have had a lot of experience sometimes of disappointment of leadership. But leadership comes from young men and women who enter into the service of Jesus. You have this beautiful Deacon Matt here who's going to make a very fine priest who's serving you. So maybe some of you are called to the Austin way of life. Maybe others are called to the Glen Mary service as a priest who will start a new community where it's never existed here in the United States. Or maybe as a brother. We have brothers who are studying nursing. Brother Joe is a builder. We have others who are social workers. Or maybe as a religious sister to encounter people as the Sisters of Mercy do through the medical clinic. It's so easy to say, no, not me. It's so easy when I ask young people, is Jesus calling you? Which of your family is going to be your priest or brother? They'll point to the other one, huh? Always point somewhere else. But I ask you very seriously to open your hearts, to ask yourself, is Jesus calling you to be a priest or a brother or a religious sister? Not to be afraid of his voice. Yes, there are many ways to serve, but there are a lot of scattered people out there. There are a lot of lost folks who need hope, who need healing, who need someone to touch them. And the Lord may be calling you to be that voice. So thank you for listening to the story of the Glen Mary Home Missioners. As you leave, again, there are magazines and prayer cards by each of the doors. There's also an envelope in your pews that you may put your collection in or donation online later on. And don't forget your prayers. I plead to remember us in prayer this week. If you could do one favor and pray every day for the success and the ministry of the Glen Mary Home Missioners, it will be the most valued gift. May you be a shepherd in the smallest ways to gather those who are lost so that they may find hope and love in Jesus.